Imagine sitting down in a movie theater, right, for this massive, highly anticipated blockbuster thriller.
Oh, I already know where this is going.
You know the feeling.
Right.
The lights dim, the opening credits start rolling, and the guy in the seat right next to you just leans over and whispers the ending directly in your ear.
Just completely kills the tension.
Completely. You're just left sitting there waiting for an outcome that you already know.
Wow.
Well, in the high-stakes world of Australian real estate and finance, the major banks basically just did exactly that to the Reserve Bank.
Yeah, they absolutely spoiled the ending. And, they didn't just whisper it, they basically broadcasted it on a megaphone
Right.
by collectively and really aggressively hiking fixed interest rates well before the official announcement.
Yeah, so let's set the exact stage for you here. Today is Monday, June 15, 2026.
A very big week.
Huge. For anyone out there holding a mortgage or, anyone working in the broker space, you know that tomorrow brings the most scrutinized event of the month.
Tuesday, June 16th.
Exactly. At 2:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, the Reserve Bank of Australia is going to make a critical cash rate decision.
And the entire country is basically holding its breath right now.
They really are. But the wild part here is that the banks, well, they've already placed their bets. The chips are completely pushed to the center of the table.
Which is fascinating.
It is. And we are drawing a today's insights from this incredibly timely piece published in the Broker Times by Jennifer Austin.
It's a great breakdown.
Really is. So our mission for you on today's deep dive is basically threefold. First, we're going to decode the underlying mechanics of why the fixed rate market is already preemptively priced in an RBA hike.
Right, the why behind the move.
Exactly. Second, we are going to fundamentally reframe this whole fixed versus variable debate. We need to move it away from a discussion about savings and turn it into a calculation about insurance.
Which is a crucial mindset shift for brokers right now.
Absolutely. And finally, we are laying out the precise triage protocol that mortgage brokers need to execute before tomorrow's 2:30 p.m. bell even rings.
Because, in a landscape flooded with rate tracker headlines just screaming conflicting data every hour, the true advantage comes from looking past all that surface noise.
Fun on.
If you can understand the wholesale funding machinery that's operating beneath those headlines, then the seemingly chaotic preemptive moves of the banks suddenly make perfect mathematical sense.
So let's actually look at the sheer scale of this preemptive strike, right? Because the numbers Jennifer Austin outlines in her article are just staggering.
They really are.
Westpac was the last of the big four banks to move. Just last week, they hiked their cheapest two-year fixed rate by a massive 45 basis points.
That's nearly half a percentage point.
Yeah, which brought it up to 6.14%.
Yeah.
And that wasn't just some isolated event.
Not at all. ANZ had already lifted their fixed rates by up to 40 basis points before that.
Right. And Commonwealth Bank and NAB, they repriced even earlier than that.
And it cascades well beyond just the major players, too. Like, when you look at the Canstar analysis from early June, since the RBA's March meeting, over 60 lenders have lifted at least one fixed rate.
Over 60.
Yeah, over 60. You have Macquarie, Bendigo, ING, Bank of Queensland, an entire market basically moving in unison before the official referee has even blown the whistle.
It's wild, and we really have to place this in the broader 2026 context for you. The RBA has already hiked rates three times this year.
Right.
They moved in February from 3.60 to 3.85%. They hiked again in March to 4.0 and then again in May to 4.35%.
Cementing themselves as a complete global outlier.
Yeah, exactly. While other central banks around the world are actually easing up, Australia is returning rates to prior cycle peaks.
Which is painful for a lot of households.
Extremely.
Right.
But this leads me to a major point of confusion, and I really want your take on this.
Okay, let's hear it.
If I am running a bank, right, why on earth would I risk the PR nightmare of hiking rates early?
Oh, the media pylon.
Exactly. If over 60 lenders push rates up now, they actively anger their customers and invite all this terrible press. Why not just wait two short weeks, let the RBA make its announcement tomorrow, and then just conveniently blame the central bank for the rate hike?
Well, see, that assumption, it assumes banks fund their fixed-rate mortgages directly from the cash they just hold in everyday customer savings accounts.
Which they don't.
No, not at all. That's a fundamental misunderstanding of banking mechanics. Fixed rates are not tied to today's 4.35% RBA cash rate.
Okay.
They are tied to wholesale funding markets, specifically through what is called the swap curve.
Wait, so you're saying a bank isn't just, Taking my neighbor's savings deposit and then lending it out to me at a fixed rate?
I mean, not directly, no. They are buying that money from somewhere else.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Precisely. When a bank offers a borrower a guaranteed fixed interest rate for, say, the next 2 or 3 years, the bank has to actually go out into global wholesale financial markets,
Right.
and they have to secure that funding for that specific duration. So to protect themselves from future rate fluctuations, banks enter into swap agreements.
Swap agreements. Okay, meaning what exactly?
It essentially means they are trading variable rate obligations for fixed rate guarantees. And the institutions on the other side of those swaps, well, they charge a premium based on where they expect rates to go over the life of the loan.
Ah, I see. So the wholesale market is basically projecting future risk and pricing it into today's cost.
Yes, exactly. When those global wholesale markets look at Australia's stubborn inflation data, they believe more tightening is inevitable.
Right, they see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, so the cost for the bank to secure that 3-year funding goes up immediately. If a bank waits 2 weeks to raise its consumer-facing fixed rates,
Just to avoid bad PR.
right, if they wait, but their own wholesale funding costs have already spiked today, the bank actually writes that mortgage at a massive loss.
Oh, they'd literally be losing money on every loan.
Exactly. Markets don't price certainty, you know, they price risk. So that 45 basis point hike from Westpac is simply the bank taking that increased wholesale risk premium and passing it directly on to the borrower.
Okay, that makes total sense mechanically. But here's where it gets really interesting to me.
Go on.
If the global wholesale markets are essentially screaming that the risk of a hike is real
Yeah.
and the swap curve is baking that mathematical probability into consumer rates today, you would logically expect all the domestic experts to be in agreement,
You
right?
would think so.
But we have this bizarre disconnect. The actual economists forecasting tomorrow's decision are completely split.
Oh, the division is stark right now. I mean, just look at the big four banks' own economic teams.
Right, let's look at them.
Westpac's economists are out on an island entirely. They're predicting 2 more 25 basis point hikes.
Two more.
Yeah, one tomorrow in June and another one in August. That scenario pushes the cash rate to a punishing 4.85%.
Which would be brutal. But then you look at the other three.
Right. ANZ, CBA, and ENAB are explicitly tipping a hold for tomorrow's meeting. They're citing the need to wait for further quarterly inflation data before making a move.
And it sends well beyond just the big four, too. Like, there was a recent Reuters survey of 31 economists, and it shows a complete fracture in
A
consensus.
total split.
Just over half of those surveyed say the cash rate will hold at 4.35% for the rest of 2026. But more than a third of them see at least one more increase on the horizon.
Right.
We basically have the most educated financial minds in the country entirely divided.
And right in the middle of this massive disagreement sits the average Australian borrower
Yes.
and the mortgage broker who is tasked with somehow advising them.
Exactly. Because for the last 18 months or so, the script was relatively straightforward. Variable rates were cheaper, and fixed rates were just this niche product for people who desperately needed certainty in their budget.
Right, it was an easy calculation.
But now, with over 60 lenders hiking early, fixed rates have actually climbed higher than variable rates.
Which forces a profound shift in psychology and advisory strategy.
How so?
Well, you can no longer present a fixed rate to a client as a financial discount. It just doesn't work that way anymore.
Right, it fundamentally changes the product you're selling. We typically think of fixing a rate like buying bulk goods at a warehouse club.
Oh, I like that comparison.
Right, you commit to a larger volume or a longer term, and in exchange, you get a mathematical discount. But the current environment requires treating a fixed rate like a specialized insurance policy on a house built right on a fault line.
Okay, yes, that is exactly how to look at it.
You don't buy earthquake insurance because you're hoping to make a return on your investment. You aren't trying to, like, beat the market.
No, you'd rather the earthquake never happen.
Exactly. You are paying a premium, which is that higher fixed rate, purely to cap your downside. You buy it so you can actually sleep at night, knowing that if the macroeconomic earthquake hits tomorrow at 2:30 p.m., your household budget won't completely collapse.
That framing is essential right now. The conversation between a broker and a borrower must now be explicitly divided into two distinct parts: direction and tolerance.
Okay, let's test that logic. Because if the leading economists in the country can't even agree on the direction of rates tomorrow, How on earth is a broker supposed to confidently advise a client on that direction?
Well, that's the thing. The broker removes themselves from the prediction game entirely.
Really? They just don't predict it?
Exactly. Trying to guess the RBA's move is a complete trap. Instead, the broker just explains the market's current bet.
Okay, so how does that sound in the room?
You tell the client, look, the fixed rate I'm showing you today already assumes rates are probably going up. If Westpac's economists are right and we see two more hikes, locking in this fixed rate today will look like a brilliant move.
Right.
But if the RBA holds, you just paid a premium for certainty that you didn't mathematically need.
Okay.
The broker's job is simply to present those two entirely reasonable outcomes and ask the client a very simple question. Which regret can you live with?
Wow. Which regret can you live with? That immediately forces the conversation into that second part you mentioned, tolerance.
Exactly.
Because deciding which regret you can live with isn't just some philosophical exercise, right? It comes down to hard numbers.
Always.
Like, can the household actually absorb two more 25 basis point increases on a variable rate without financially drowning? We basically have to leave the theoretical realm of macroeconomics and enter the brutal reality of cash flow.
And look, the data on household cash flow is genuinely alarming right now.
Yeah, Austin mentions this.
We have to look at the Roy Morgan modeling that was conducted right after the May rate hike. Their data shows that approximately 1.6 million Australians are currently in mortgage stress.
1.6 million.
Let that sink in. That represents roughly 30% of all mortgage holders.
Almost one in three households with a mortgage is in stress right now. That is terrifying.
It is.
When you have a household teetering right on the edge of that 30%, the certainty of a fixed repayment, even at a premium, I mean, that prevents catastrophic failure.
Exactly.
But a broker can't just throw macro stress statistics at a client sitting across the desks. It just induces panic.
Yeah.
How do you ground that conversation practically?
Well, Jennifer Austin's article highlights what I think is the most actionable tool a broker can deploy right now. The three scenario table.
Okay, walk me through that.
You stop debating the RBA and you model the specific household sitting in front of you. You map out three columns on a piece of paper, a hold, a single rate hike, and two rate hikes.
Simple enough.
And then you run those scenarios directly against the client's actual monthly income, their mandatory expenses, and their remaining buffer.
So it turns a panicked, oh my gosh, what do I do, into a cold, rational math equation.
Right. It acts as a psychological grounding technique.
By showing exactly what happens in scenario A, B, and C, all that anxiety is converted into an actionable decision.
Precisely.
But let me challenge a specific assumption here, though.
Sure, go ahead.
If I'm a broker, my triage priority is naturally going to be my active variable rate clients who are currently paying mortgages.
Right. Makes sense.
But what about the clients who don't have a mortgage yet? Like the young couple who got their pre-approval sorted out 3 months ago and are currently bidding at auctions every Saturday. The bank already rigorously assessed their income and signed off on a maximum purchase price. They are insulated from these RBA hikes until they actually draw down the loan.
Right. Absolutely not. And that is perhaps the most dangerous misconception circulating in the market today.
Wait, really?
A pre-approval from 3 months ago might be completely dead in the water right now, just rotting from the inside out, without the client or the broker even realizing it.
Walk me through the mechanics of that. If the bank already signed off on their income 3 months ago, why would a macro-level RBA shift invalidate their personal printed pre-approval?
It comes down to the regulatory assessment rate mechanism.
Okay.
APRA, the banking regulator, mandates that lenders apply a 3% serviceability buffer.
Right, the 3% buffer.
This rule exists to ensure households can withstand future rate shocks. So lenders do not assess your capacity to borrow based on the actual interest rate you'll be paying.
They don't?
No. They assess your capacity at the contracted rate plus that mandatory 3% buffer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So every single time the RBA raises the cash rate by 25 basis points, the actual variable rates go up.
Which means the hypothetical assessment rate goes up in lockstep.
Exactly.
So if I'm approved at 6%, they test me at 9. But if rates go up to 6.5, now I have to prove I can pay 9.5.
You got it. The hurdle for proving you can afford the loan keeps getting higher, even after the initial approval letter is printed.
That is brutal.
The compounding effect of the three hikes we've already seen in 2026 has been devastating to borrowing power. The data indicates those three hikes have stripped roughly $50,000 to $60,000 of borrowing capacity away from a couple on a combined $180,000 income.
$60,000 just gone.
The capacity they were promised in March no longer holds in June. This silent erosion of borrowing capacity is honestly the most urgent story hiding beneath the headlines.
That is a terrifying prospect for anyone mid-purchase. I mean, a couple could walk into an auction on Saturday morning confidently believing they have $1 million to spend, only to win the bid and find out on Monday that the bank will now only lend them $940,000.
And suddenly they can't settle.
It is a total recipe for a forfeited deposit. So, knowing that borrowing capacity is evaporating in real time, and knowing that mortgage stress is sitting at 30%, the broker's role has to shift immediately from just an advisor to almost a first responder.
Exactly right.
What is the immediate triage protocol a broker must execute today before the 2:30 p.m. announcement tomorrow?
Okay, the first non-negotiable step is addressing those silent risks. Brokers must pull every single pre-approval issued in the last 90 days and rigorously rerun the serviceability calculators against today's higher assessment rates.
You have to find out who's exposed.
Right. You have to flag the files that no longer hold capacity and have that difficult conversation before the client signs an unconditional contract.
And step two has to be identifying the variable rate clients who are most exposed, right?
Yes. Brokers need to pull their database and find anyone within 12 months of a fixed rate roll-off.
Ah, the roll-off cliff.
Exactly. Those are the clients who haven't felt the 2026 hikes yet, but are about to hit a massive repayment wall. You run that three scenario table for them today so they understand their upcoming reality.
Okay, what's step three?
Step three involves compliance and clear communication. For any client who decides to fix their rate based on this environment, the broker must document the conversation explicitly.
Cover your bases.
Right. You create a best interest duty aligned record showing the client acknowledged they were buying certainty against a priced in risk rather than securing a mathematical discount. You document the trade-off.
Makes sense. Let's talk about the refinance market for step four, because a common assumption is that when the entire market is hiking rates, refinancing just freezes.
Right. People think there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. Like, there are no cheap options left to escape to, so I assume brokers just stop looking at refinance options during a rate hike cycle.
Actually, the exact opposite occurs. Refinancing doesn't freeze at all. The window of opportunity just compresses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Immediately after an RBA decision, the macroeconomic uncertainty temporarily clears. Banks suddenly know their exact wholesale funding costs for the next month.
Right. The cards are on the table.
And they use that brief window of clarity to aggressively offer steep discount margins on variable rates to steal market share from slower competitors.
Wow. Okay.
Brokers have immense leverage in this window. Look at major aggregators like the Australian Finance Group or AFG. Their brokers lodged $62 billion in loans in the 6 months to December.
$62 billion.
Originating roughly 1 in 9 of all Australian mortgages. Lenders are desperate for that volume.
So the move is to build a highly targeted refinance shortlist today. You want to have the paperwork ready to strike tomorrow afternoon, capturing those peak discount margins the very moment they are released.
Spot on.
And that leads to the final step in the protocol. Proactively contacting your most highly leveraged households immediately.
Don't wait for them to call you.
Right. Don't wait for them to call you in an absolute panic when their new higher repayment notice lands in the mail next week. You call them today.
Get ahead of it.
The entire protocol feels less like giving financial advice and more like, I don't know, a commercial pilot running a strict pre-flight checklist.
That's a perfect way to look at it.
Right. When you see a massive storm front rolling in on the radar, you don't wait until you hit the severe turbulence to start checking your instruments. You check the structural integrity of your pre-approvals, you map your scenarios, and you prepare your navigation routes beforehand.
Because preparation dictates the outcome. The professionals who come into tomorrow with their pipeline already modeled are the ones who will protect their clients, while the rest of the market is simply paralyzed, waiting to see what the headlines say.
So tomorrow is the big day, 2:30 p.m. AEST. But if the RBA announcement is just the initial shockwave, what is the secondary metric we should actually be watching to see how the market digests the news?
Oh, the true signal will be what lenders do with their fixed rates in the days after June 16.
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, if the RBA holds tomorrow and we suddenly see fixed rates start drifting back down by, say, Thursday or Friday, that tells you something crucial.
Which is?
It tells you the wholesale swap curve has cooled. Funding markets have pulled their expectations of future hikes.
Wow. Okay.
It also means the clients who locked in a fixed rate last week ultimately paid for an insurance policy they didn't need to claim.
They paid the premium, but the earthquake never hit.
Exactly. Conversely, if the RBA does hike tomorrow and fixed rates actually climb even further in the aftermath,
then what?
That is a glaring warning sign. It signals that the wholesale markets believe the repricing cycle is far from over and even more pain is coming down the line.
We have covered incredible ground today. From decoding how 60 lenders translating the swap curve basically spoiled the RBA's ending.
It's such a spoiler.
Right. To fundamentally reframing fixed rates as insurance for household tolerance and mapping out that vital pilot's pre-flight checklist for brokers staring down an eroding pre-approval pipeline.
It is really about moving from a reactive posture to a proactive one. When you understand the machinery driving the market, you stop being a victim of the headlines.
You really do. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to just chew on.
Let's hear it.
We've spent all this time today discussing how fixing a mortgage right now is essentially paying an insurance premium to protect yourself against macroeconomic swap curves and global funding risks.
Right.
But we live in an age of exponential, hyper-personalized technology.
Mm.
If banks are already predicting the macro economy to set their rates, how long until AI starts predicting you?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Imagine a near future where your fixed rate insurance premium isn't calculated on a broad national average. Instead, it is dynamically priced moment to moment based on your personal household data.
That would change everything.
It would. Your spending habits, your real-time banking inflows, perhaps even health data showing your stress levels spiking every single time you buy groceries. If the wholesale market can price risk for a bank, an AI model will soon be able to price micro-risk for your specific household.
The fusion of macro market risk and hyper-personalized micro data, I mean, it would completely revolutionize how lenders view household stability.
It is a wild frontier to consider as the market evolves.
Yeah.
But for now, as you tune into that 2:30 p.m. RBA call tomorrow, remember this.
Yeah.
You are no longer just reacting to a number on a screen. You know the ending the banks tried to spoil, and you actually understand the heavy machinery operating underneath it all. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay prepared, execute your checklists, and we will see you next time.